Vastutaha. In fact, Janatam, for those who understand, Atra, in this world, Krishnam, Lord Krishna, Stashnu, stationary, Charishnu, moving, Cha, and Bhagavat Rupam, the manifest forms of the personality of Godhead. Akilam, everything. Na, nothing. Anyat, else. Vastu, substance. Iha, here. Kinchana, at all. Translation. Those in this world who understand Lord Krishna as he is, see all things, whether stationary or moving, as manifest forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such enlightened persons recognize no reality apart from the Supreme Lord Krishna. So you can repeat, those in this world who understand Lord Krishna as he is, see all things, whether stationary or moving, as manifest forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such enlightened persons recognize no reality apart from the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, everything exists within Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna exists within everything. Still, the order of progression is always from the energetic to the expanded energy. Lord Krishna is the original identity from whom all other identities emanate. He is the supreme energetic from whom all categories and dimensions of energy become manifest. Thus, our personal bodies, self, family, friends, nation, planet, universe, and so on, are all manifestations of the Supreme Lord who expands himself through his personal potencies. Lord Krishna is certainly the supreme object of our love and attraction, and other objects such as body, family, and home should be secondary objects of our affection. Moreover, a close analytic study of the actual situation will reveal that even the secondary objects of love are also manifestations of Lord Krishna. The conclusion is that Lord Krishna is our only friend and object of love. In his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. Without being an expansion of Krishna, nothing can be attractive. Whatever is attractive within the cosmic manifestation is due to Krishna. Krishna is therefore the reservoir of all pleasure. The actual principle of everything is Krishna. And highly elevated transcendentalists see everything in connection with him. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated that a Maha Bhagavata, highly advanced devotee, sees Krishna as the active principle in all movable and immovable living entities. Therefore, he sees everything within this cosmic manifestation in relation to Krishna. So, Vastuto Janatam Matra. Krishnam snashnu charishnu cha bhagavad rupam bhakilam nanyad vashtviha kinchana. So, Oma gana timadandasha gananjana shalakaya chaksur unmiditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, from the eyes of the pure devotee of Krishna, as mentioned here, Krishna is everywhere. sarva kalvinam brahma. And what does that mean exactly? Well, it's not that he becomes confused thinking that everything in every sense is Krishna. In other words, it's not that he thinks, well, this chair is Krishna, my wife, my husband is Krishna, my children are Krishna. But he sees them as Krishna's energy, or energies. And when he sees them like that, these manifestations of the energies of Krishna, which in one sense are non-different from Krishna, and different simultaneously, achincha, beta, beta, tattva, they become impetuses for his love for Krishna. Just like in the study of emotions, spiritual emotions, there's this thing called vibhava. Vibhava means, for those who haven't heard this before, the emotion or that which stimulates the other emotions. And of course, generally we talk about how they're distinguished in two different categories, alambana and udipana. That is, directly Krishna. Now, obviously, if Krishna walked in this room, it would definitely be stimulating for us. You know, he just came in with a shawl. I probably asked him, do you need a jacket or something like that, Krishna? You know, it's kind of cold outside. So anyway, if Krishna moved in, we'd go, wow. And, you know, a little more advanced, if we see, like, the paraphernalia of the deities, that's udipana, then we also become like, wow. Just like, you know, when I see a flute, I think of Krishna. Even at one time I was at Govardhan, and I heard flute music, and immediately reminded me of Krishna. It was just some mundane guy playing a flute. They had a speaker system there, so I just thought I had become completely self-realized. But then I realized it wasn't that, it was Maya. So anyway, so that's easy to relate that to Krishna. But for a pure devotee, he'll even see this chair and remind, everything becomes a vibhava, premanjana charita, bhakti valochanena, santakshiraiva vilokiyanti, yam shaima sundara, achincha guna svarupam, govinda madhipurusham tamaham bhajami. Just like in other words, let me translate that verse. One's eyes are tinged with the salve of love of God. Salve means like something you put on your eyes to sort of cure a disease of love of God. And then he sees Krishna. Santakshidhaiva riyeshu vilokiyanti, in his heart of hearts. Sees Krishna everywhere. So that's, you know, when I first joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, I thought that meant you'd see little Krishnas like floating in the air, you know. Or, you know, looking at this piece of wood, I'd see somehow with a microscopic or atomic vision, I'd see the super soul. Or I'd look at one of you and see the super soul in their hearts. But it's not really what that means. It really means that, it also means you see Krishna. A pure devotee can converse with Krishna too, there's no doubt about it. But generally it means that these things just like make you excited. When you see this piece of wood, oh, it belongs to Krishna. And a comparison that I often make is when one is madly in love, everything reminds one of one's beloved. I mean, let's say, of course, I'm not madly in love. But let's say, oh my God, don't want to use an example of myself. Anyway, let's say someone was madly in love and they saw a chair in their house. And that would remind them of how their beloved would sit on a chair. Isn't it? Everything becomes an impetus. Or if you see it, because nowadays, it would, if you would see a cell phone, it would remind sorry about this. It would remind you how you were texting with your beloved. Sorry about that one, yeah. Anyway, so it just becomes like an impetus. The whole world just becomes like an impetus for your relationship with the beloved. Of course, that doesn't last for very long, we understand that. But a pure devotee, it goes on unlimitedly. okay. I don't know. It's pretty loud in here, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that it's not going to be.
They have to turn the volume up. So maybe someone needs to turn the interface up rather than me speaking, swallowing the microphone. Someone needs to turn the interface between the computer and the mixer, turn the mixer volume up. Not the microphone volume up, because it's already too loud right now. So anyway, so everything becomes an impetus.
It's also pretty loud.
It's all the way. Okay. Anyway, we do our best. So everything... Yeah, I mean, maybe you turn down the volume in here, you know, of the speaker system. She's doing that right now. Because otherwise I have to speak so loud that everybody's going to just, like, go deaf in here. So anyway, so everything becomes an impetus for love of God, for a pure devotee. It's really amazing. And, of course, pure devotees are on different levels according to their... Ras, according to the relationship they have with Krishna. So someone in Shanta Ras, you know, just, oh, how great God is when he sees everything. And so in Dasha, then, oh, I should serve God. Becomes an impetus for service. As I was listening to a class, Srila Prabhupada was talking to Mr. Patel, the famous Mr. Patel. And Mr. Patel was saying how he appreciates the greatness of Krishna, you know, everything. And Prabhupada said, you are a Shanta Ras Bhakta. And Mr. Patel got upset. He said, what do you mean I'm a Shanta Ras Bhakta? And Prabhupada said, because you haven't come to the point of serving. And then Mr. Patel, you know, tried to cover for himself. He says, but I'm always serving your devotees here. And then Prabhupada, in order to try to bring him up to a higher ras, said, okay, we got some service for you. Would you please? And Prabhupada was very gentle trying to engage people in Krishna's service. He wasn't demanding or pushing. So he said, every Sunday, so many of these young kids, and Prabhupada was talking basically about the kids who were from the poor families, come to the temple and they don't have enough to eat and they don't have enough to wear. Don't have sufficient clothes to wear. And Prabhupada said, can you help with this? You know, so Prabhupada was trying to bring him up to a higher ras. So anyway, so depending on one's ras, or taste or relationship, then one, a pure devotee coming in contact with this material energy just becomes ecstatic. You know, he wants to serve more, or if he's on the relationship, has the relationship of service, well, that's, you want to serve more. Once on the relationship of friendship, then one wants to just like be with Krishna and serve him in the context of friendship, or one of the relationship, parental relationship, one feels very protective of Krishna. Parental means very protective. Just like people like, you know, Kshatriya, that's what Kshatriya likes, to protect others. So that's really the essence of the parental relationship. Isn't I just want to, you know, play with Krishna just like I have a cat or a dog, you know, I play with a pet. And some people misconstrue this parental relationship, thinking it's just a type of enjoyment of Krishna. It's enjoyment to give enjoyment to Krishna, it's protection. And of course, the parental relationship also is manifest, as is all the other relationships. Like you have the different qualities of the material elements, like earth, water, fire, air, ether, and each one has a particular quality. They're all perfectly manifest within the conjugal relationship. Like the gopis, they're also thinking of protecting Krishna. Because when Krishna goes out to pasture the cows, he doesn't wear socks, like I do when I go around Govardhan. He doesn't wear anything on his feet, and the gopis are just feeling very protective of Krishna's feet. They're thinking, you know, we put Krishna's feet on our breasts and they get injured in that way. So what to speak of when Krishna's walking on the thorns in Braj? So anyway, so this is This is how a pure devotee sees things. And not only that, in the commentary of Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī on this particular verse, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī states that when a pure devotee sees other incarnations of Krishna, not only the material energy, not only the spiritual energy, but when he sees other incarnations of Krishna, he just sees Krishna in his original form. And of course, we have that example of the Chaturbhuja story in Vrindavan and Braj, where Radharani is looking for Krishna along with the other gopis, and Krishna, in order to hide out from the gopis, has taken a forearm form of Lord Vishnu, Narayan, and Radharani and the gopis, they're looking, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? So all of a sudden, there's Lord Narayan, and the gopis, they offer their obeisances to Lord Narayan, and basically they say to him, where is Krishna? Please point the way. In other words, they're taking service from Lord Narayan in order to see Krishna, which is actually quite interesting. Lord Narayan has become their GPS or Google Maps. And then Radharani is there, and Lord Narayan, that is Krishna acting as Lord Narayan, cannot manifest his extra two arms. They just disappear, and then he tries to make them appear again, and they disappear. You know, Krishna doesn't even have the, let's say, the energy. Or, in spite of being the master of all potencies, Parashya Shaktir, Vinaya Vishuyate, so Babaki Jnana Palakriya Cha. Besides being the master of all potencies, in spite, he's not able to have enough potency to manifest two extra arms in front of Radharani. Doesn't have that energy. And that's how great her love is. So in other words, Jiva Goswami, as we mentioned before, states that all the other incarnations are within Krishna. And of course, we find that in the Dashavatara Shlokas by Jayadev Goswami. You know, Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa, Keshava Drita Shukara Rupa, Keshava Drita Rama Sharira. It's all Krishna. So a pure devotee, and that's really how we understand Prabhupada's statement when Prabhupada says one should not concentrate his mind on any other, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, he says any other feature of this, I'm just paraphrasing, not exact quote, of any other feature of the Supreme Lord other than Krishna with two arms. Because a devotee actually sees that. It's not that devotees take that quote out of context and they say, I'm not interested in hearing about Lord Ram. But Lord Ram, you know, he's just an expansion of Krishna. I got to be careful nowadays throwing my arms around. Because yesterday I threw my glasses off when I was giving class. So just an expansion. But no, it's Krishna doing these things, or Lord Nrsingadev. It's doing these things. So anyway, that's another point about how a devotee sees Krishna in everything and everywhere, according to Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī. And then another point that is made by Prabhupada and some of the acharyas, that when one sees Krishna in everything and everywhere, or one takes that understanding, at least theoretically, one shouldn't come to the point of blaming Krishna for everything. You know, say, you know, Krishna's in charge, he's controlling everything, everything is energy, then why the H-E-double-L? Forgive the French. So why does he make things so miserable? And there's two explanations for that. I mean, one explanation is the explanation Prabhupada gave. He said it's like blaming the government for creating prison houses, right? So, you know, why does the government make prison houses? Why doesn't it just like allow everybody to be happy? Well, the prison houses created ultimately not by the government, but by the prisoners. You know, if you say why, you know, the ultimate reason for everything is always the why, not the how. How is just a mechanical explanation. Like if you say, how does the Lord create the material world? Okay, a little interesting, you know, he breathes out, universes come out from him, expand, enters, you know, it's a little interesting. But to me, the real point is, why does the Lord create the material world? And that's the reason why the material world is. In fact, one time Prabhupada said, very interesting, you have created the material world. So when someone's questioning Krishna, why does Krishna create the material world? He said, you created the material world. Why? Because you had Krishna Bhakti Mukha. You decided to rebel against Krishna. You decided, or in the case of the criminal decided to disobey the order of the government. So you can't get angry. You just, I'm innocent. You know, why is the government? Of course, sometimes you do find innocent people who are being put in jail. But the Lord is omniscient, so obviously there's no innocent people that are being suffering in this world. And sometimes we say we're innocent. I mean, I remember when I was a young devotee, there was a particular sannyasi I was traveling with, and he would get real heavy sometimes. And I'd say, I'm innocent. And he says, you're not innocent? Even if you didn't do what I'm chastising you for, you're guilty. Because you have a material body, and you're in the material world. It's like that one story we learned, I think it was Nathaniel Hawthorne's story, The Scarlet Letter, right? Anyone remember that story? That this girl was not exactly the most chaste girl in the creation, so she had to wear like an A, you know, adulteress or something on there. And so we're wearing a body that indicates our guilt. Also, when I was in the university in the chemistry lab, if you broke a thermometer, you had to wear it around your neck for a week. And that way you were guilty. Or like you go downtown Hillsborough, sometimes we go downtown, you know, near the post office is the jail there. And then the prisoners are going to the courthouse and they're wearing saffron clothes, brahmacharis, forced brahmacharis. They're wearing saffron clothes, and so we understand they're prisoners. And so we're walking around with this body, so we understand we're guilty. And so that's the first point that Prabhupada makes. Another point is that when people get angry with God because he's created such a miserable situation, that the misery is meant to not simply punish us, or not even punish us, it's meant to reform us. So that we come to our senses. Just like you even have operations that are performed on you. I remember, you know, I've had like minor operations, and the operations were for my own good. There was pain, as they say, no pain, no gain. So there was pain, and then we felt better at the end. You know, so we rectified. So anyway, so these are some of the explanations about this particular verse. Another thing the acharyas state, very interesting, the acharyas commentaries on this verse is that Krishna can be seen as not only this material world, but as the cause of the material world, cause and effect, as we find in the Brahma Samhita, you know, Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchananda Vigrat Anadir Adir Govinda. Sarvakarna Karanam, that verse, Sarvakarna Karanam, that Krishna is not only this material energy, but he is the creator of the material energy, the cause of this material energy. So he is the efficient cause as well as the material cause. That's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The efficient cause is Aikshata. Aikshata means when Krishna glances over the material cause. Material cause is the pradhana. Pradhana is sometimes mentioned as the unmanifest state of the three modes of material nature. It's like the clay, silly putty clay that people have experienced. So the efficient cause, Krishna glances at this clay-like substance or putty-like substance and then implants the conditioned souls within the material universe, and that glance is called Shambhu. Shambhu, of course, is Lord Shiva. And so that way, Krishna is the efficient, causes it to come into action, and he's also the material cause, the cause of the elements, as insofar as his, that's another one of his energies. So in this way, Krishna is both the cause and the effect. And then Krishna, you know, Krishna is also in everyone's heart as the super soul. In addition to this energy, this material energy, being an energy of Krishna, but Krishna is personally in everyone's heart as the super soul. So there's many ways of seeing Krishna everywhere. The purpose of the material creation, the efficient cause, the material cause, entering into every atom of the material creation, how can you avoid Krishna? Prabhupada would sometimes say the wonder is not that someone sees Krishna, but the wonder is that someone doesn't see Krishna everywhere. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, just like, and I've given the example there several times before, when I was studying for my presentations on microbiology, you know, how life comes from life, I would look at the cell and see Krishna there. I mean, obviously I don't have spiritual vision. I didn't see super soul within the cell. But just because of the nature, the intricacy, the complexity of the cell, you see the designer. I mean, if someone's intelligent, let's say you see a building, then you understand there's a designer behind it. It's evidence there's a designer. And when you see something infinitely complex, like the cell, then you have to see Krishna. It becomes, I mean, I actually, when I was studying, it actually became a vibhav for me, studying cellular biology, microbiology. It was just like, wow, this is ecstatic. Not simply because I like science, which I do, but because it's just like, wow, this is great. It's like, to me, it was like seeing the deities. Maybe I'm in Maya. I mean, those who talked to me at that particular time, I was just like much more ecstasy than I normally am. Because you see Krishna there. You look at any element in the material creation, you have to see Krishna. And the amazing thing is that the atheists, they don't see that there's God. They think everything came about by chance. And it's stupid, isn't it? Like an airplane coming about by chance, or this chair coming about. The chair is not complex at all. It's just a simple, stupid thing. You know, a few little cuts in the wood. So you have to see a person behind everything. So, anyway. So, we have about a half minute left, so any questions or comments about any of the points we made? I wanted to... Actually, I was planning to read from the Bhagavatam and from the Gita this verse, because this verse also deals with how the Lord... one doesn't see the Lord everywhere, then that's Krishna's illusory energy. You know, Ritevatam Napriyeta. Napriyeta, Chatmani, Tadvijadat, Mano, Mayam, Yatabasha, Yatatamha, the nutshell verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I actually wanted to read it in Prabhupada's purport, but I guess we'll save that for another day. So all glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.